Breeze, AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH Sioux Center time 7:52. Second Thursday of the month means State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich joins me now for his legislative update. Representative, good morning. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing quite well.
All right.
Woke up a little late, but got to it.
That's like that kind of morning. You know, it's rainy.
Yep.
Let's get your reaction to, there was a rally in Hartford yesterday, of course, supporting football, fall sports. What's going to happen this year?
I'm pretty comfortable we'll reach a solution on it. I think the parents' voices were heard. I certainly expressed my opinion to the government officials. I spoke to the governor's chief of staff. I know they're working on a solution. I think it's very important that we figure out the protocols and figure out how we can engage in the sport, whether with testing, et cetera, to keep it safe. I know the kids have been in practice strenuously for this. I'm hopeful we reach a good solution.
And I know football got a lot of the attention, but there's other sports. I know that girls volleyball, I guess, is one that they're not going to, that would also be a victim of this. So does this cover all these sports in the fall?
I'm comfortable that they're looking at this schedule and talking to CAIC to get this thing resolved. I would hope it would be a comprehensive solution. You have to look at the level of contact, the level of testing. You don't want the sports programs themselves to be vectors of the infection. And, you know, I'm going to rely on the government to work those details out. But I would hopefully see that included. I think giving all the kids a full academic experience to the extent possible is important. You know, we just opened the schools, and the issue will be how this first month goes, how the second month goes, and make sure that we can control any possible spread of the virus.
All right. Connecticut's financial numbers, I guess there's a big surplus for the state.
Yeah, we came in this year. We closed out August 15th. It was the June 30th end of year, fiscal year. We closed out with over $3 billion, 15% in the rainy day fund. The treasurer, as I understand it, is deciding on the surplus. I expect that will go to either pay down some of the long-term debt of the state or to fund the pension programs, or overfund, if you will, or make an additional contribution. So I was pretty happy with that. I think the projections for this year are difficult, and the following year will be even more so. But the level of the rainy day fund should give us some of the resources to negotiate reasonable budgets, which is what we'll be doing when we go in, assuming I get reelected. I mean, we've got the November election. The next legislature will have to deal with the biennial budget. But we're in one of the best shapes. I think we're among the top five states in the nation positioned into this rainy day fund with our operating surplus.
I mean, was it a surprise to you? I mean, intuitively, you'd think things are terrible. We'd be at a big deficit and not have this big rainy day fund.
Well, the projections going into the end of the year, and these are the projections I saw in June, were calling for a rainy day fund balance of about 2.1. We're expecting a drawdown, but because of personal income taxes, because of the level of activity in the stock market, and the trading, the excesses that we were able to collect in tax revenue were able to bring us into a very solid balance. And thank God we didn't raid the rainy day fund. We didn't use it for the transportation programs, et cetera, that we're sitting here now in, I think, what is a relatively enviable position against all of the states, our neighboring states.
And final issue, Eversource reform bill. Is there going to be a special session on this or what?
I'm expecting a special session the last week in September. I think we're in the process. We've drafted a bill. It's going to call for a higher level of accountability, a performance-based rate paying function so that we get to really get a better review of their operations. We had, I sat through a 12-hour Zoom meeting last week and a 10-hour Zoom meeting this week with Energy and Technology. The prior one was with Pura. And I know that we are going to raise the bar on both their accountability and also on trying to get control of distribution costs because, you know, if I've heard one thing from our residents, is that we need to do something with our the performance of our electric utility.
Do you think that burying power lines will be part of this?
I think burying power lines in essential and key areas will be one of the things we look for. Long-term solution in burying the power lines is an exceedingly costly process, and the maintenance of those lines is very heavy. So there's going to be calls for that, but we're going to have to look and study the process. The cost to do that could be overwhelming. So, you know, whether we do it in essential areas, such, you know, like Greenwich Avenue and different places, and look at the studies of how we proceed, I think it's going to have to be tied into when we are working with the Department of Public Works, when we look at tearing up roads, if there is a cost-effective way to put the lines down to avoid the outages. But that's really a long-term process. If you see other states, the way they've approached this is that new developments have underground wires, and the older developments at the overhead telephone poles, that's a gradualist approach. I don't think you can afford to finance an undergrounding of the entire system. I think it would swamp us in terms of the costs.
All right, State Representative Stephen Meskers, as always, thanks for your time this morning. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Take care.
State Representative Stephen Meskers, next week it'll be State